It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to Fade the Chalk Live. This is the week 4 waiver wire edition. Adam and I are going to dive through our top waiver wire pickups of the week, as well as do a Q&A at the end of the episode. Adam, what's going on, man? How you doing? How's things?
Yeah, obviously was a pretty tough weekend. Talked about that on the solo pod, but you and I haven't talked, but obviously just hearts were broken this weekend. It's been tough, man. Obviously with the news of Tags, heart goes out to his family and Tabby and everybody. It's just devastating. But you see the outpouring from the fantasy community and everybody, and that's just, it warms your heart, and it just shows the type of person that Tags was. So, we definitely wanted to make sure we send our thoughts and condolences with his family. It's crushing.
It's been hard, man. I'm not going to lie. Just to get real here for a second, we talked about this on the NFL DFS live show over at FTN on Sunday morning, which I know is behind the paywall, so not everybody probably heard my thoughts or has heard my part on this, but it's definitely been something I've been struggling with, man. I'm not going to lie. Tags is somebody that supported my work from... honestly, the time that I bought a Chromebook and decided that I wanted to write, one of the first sites that I was ever at, to peel back the curtain here while I'm tearing up here, one of the first sites that I ever picked up and wrote for, I sent some stuff to Tags, and I had maybe like 20 followers at the time, and I sent Tags a DM, and we had rarely talked, I mean, maybe we talked like once. Prior to that, and I sent an article I'd been working on for the first site that I ever wrote for. It was a stats article, and I was like, hey, you know, what are your thoughts on this? I would love any feedback. And he did not have to give me the time of day. He did not have to ever DM me back. He did not have to give two shits, and I would have been fine with that. But he did. He sent me a DM back, a lot of like in-depth feedback about that, and it was something that to this day, you know, all these small things that kind of build up into larger things. I don't know if I'd be here talking about fantasy football right now, man. I mean, to be honest, like between that and something that our fellow coworker Elliot Chris shared on the Sunday show, I had never even known or heard whenever a previous site that Elliot and I worked for. I had randomly DM'd Elliot an article that I had written and was seeing if he was looking for writers. And I never knew that behind the scenes, Elliot had talked to Tags, and part of, not all of it, but part of me getting the first gig there, part of the reaction, the feedback that I got from Tags in my first writings, as well as multiple interactions, like in life, in football, in all things in between that I've talked to Tags over the last few years, like hard times in my life. We talked about, he was a good friend, a colleague, somebody in this industry that I looked at as not only a friend, but a mentor, and whose content I greatly respected. I remember like 5 or 6 years ago, working as a nurse and tuning into either his live stream with him and Tabby, their podcast, and asking him questions on fantasy football way back then. And to see where it's been from 5 to 6 years to asking questions to counting him as a friend and a colleague was something that I'll go to my grave. Looking at it as a positive from my life, getting to know him and the impact that he had not only on me, multiple writers in this space, multiple people, as a person, as a human, the world lost a good one. They really did.
Yeah. it's not even like I talked about it. Like it's not just how great of a person he was, obviously, because he was everything everybody says, right? Just the nicest guy. Didn't matter if your podcast had 5 listeners or 5,000. He was not just willing to join, but he had a blast on it. And he like I've the couple shows I was lucky enough to do with him. It's just made it like I literally from doing content and work with tags, it just made me want to be better in just every aspect. And like his work ethic was second to none, and your heart just breaks. Like you just see what everybody has been saying, and it's all true. Like he was everything that that everybody says he is, and he's going to be tremendously, tremendously missed.
Rest in peace, buddy. We love you. And I'll always respect everything that you've done for the community, for myself, for everybody. Amazing, amazing person. So I really appreciate you bringing that up from the beginning, Adam. Cause you're right, man. We haven't talked about it. We haven't discussed it. Even in DMs and stuff, I think everybody's been just trying to process and trying to grieve in their own way, since the news and stuff. So, our thoughts and prayers are with Tabby and his family right now. If you can go head over and donate, whether it's on my timeline, you head over to Fantasy Pros timeline, please donate $1, $5, anything, your league proceeds. It doesn't matter. I know a few dynasty leagues that I'm in currently, we've shifted. And shout out to Justin Boone, the global fantasy football or dynasty league that we're in, the entire league, has decided to sit here and donate the proceeds of that towards, the fund to help his family. If you can, please do. And it does not matter. It does not have to be a large sum of money. Anything and everything helps, because they definitely do need all of our support that we could possibly give them right now. All right, man. Composing myself here for a second. Let's kick this off, dude. Waiver wires for week 4. Some players that we're discussing, whether it's like, okay, we need to pick them up. Are they haven't been picked up? I mean, there's some guys, like, we got a long list here, man, of players that are under 25%, under 30% in your leagues that could be dropped because maybe they stunk up until this point, but now the schedule opens up. Who are you kicking off here? Who's your first guy to pick up?
I mean, we should probably just start with Chuba, right?
Yep.
I mean, this is interesting, though, because Thursday night, the game happens, McCaffrey leaves, and it was wild because I'm watching the game, didn't even really know he was hurt until I think it was Aaron Andrews, the sideline reporter, said that he was in the medical tent, and it was like they were driving down the field, and he asked to come out of the game, and then it was a fourth down conversion. They gave it to Hubbard. He didn't get it. Game goes to commercial. And all of a sudden, it's like posted on Twitter, and then the game talks about it. McCaffrey ruled out. So him being ruled out that quickly was not a great sign. But now it looks like we're seeing that they're still holding out hope that they won't have to put him on IR, which would mean at least a 3-game absence, which means we might only get 1 to 2 games of McCaffrey being out. So that raises the question, how crazy, if at all, do you go on Chuba Hubbard? Obviously, he needs to be added because he should have been anyway, because Christian McCaffrey's rostered in 100% of leagues, so Chuba Hubbard should have been at least. I thought he looked fine. You know, he broke off a couple long runs. I did see a little bit more down the stretch, more Royce Freeman. So that's something we need to definitely keep an eye on, because this time last year when McCaffrey missed time, it was obviously Mike Davis getting all the work because, A, he's the veteran, he's been around, they didn't have anybody else. But now you have, it's like the complete polar opposite, right? You have the rookie in Chuba Hubbard, who's talented, but he's a rookie. And then you have a veteran behind him. So I think there's a much better chance that this is like a 60-40 situation than it was last year, at least to start when Mike Davis took over.
You think it's that close?
I think there's a chance, like a better chance than last year, because Hubbard's a rookie and Royce Freeman's a veteran. And this time last year, like I said, Mike Davis, 27, 28 years old, he's been around. He knows what he's doing. So like they can feel comfortable giving him, you know, 17 to 20 touches a game. And I think Chuba's like, I think he's getting the first crack at everything, but like he left some points on the board, right? He dropped an end zone touchdown. Like similar with like Tyson Williams in Baltimore. Like, what if he misses a couple blitz pickups or anything? He's not playing. Like, I think he's coming out of the game. So,
I mean, that's fair. So, I mean, I guess the better question here is that with Chuba Hubbard, you sound like you have a few more concerns than I do. How high are you willing to go in FAB then? Because is the move, in your opinion, to sit here and spend less and pick up Royce Freeman?
I definitely don't hate it. Like, I'm still going probably, I mean, it also depends. Like, if you have McCaffrey, you're probably going to end up, you know, going higher just as
a
result.
How high is higher? Like, how high do you think the watermark should be if you have CMC?
So, a couple weeks ago.
60%?
I was going to say, a couple weeks ago, what did you and I say Elijah Mitchell should be? Like, 20-ish?
Like 20. It depends. I mean, like 25, 30, somewhere around there. So we're not going to get him in any league.
Right. So I would say probably right around double that for Chuba. The problem is, though, like, what happens if McCaffrey only misses two games?
Yep.
Like if you have McCaffrey on your team and you for some reason didn't already have Chuba, sure, you can, like, go 60%, whatever. Do what you got to do because, you know, odds are you probably lost this week with McCaffrey. That might not even be true because there was so much bad football in week three. So it's, like, honestly probably not totally true. But if you did and you're, like, 1-2 or 0-3, yeah, I would go pretty hard for Chuba Hubbard. But, like, if you're set at running back and, like, it's more of, like, a luxury pickup, like, I wouldn't go too crazy because McCaffrey's going to be back probably, you know, I would say, I think there's still, like, a slim chance he goes on IR. But, like, if that's the case, he's missing three games and that's probably it.
Yeah, so I think that Carolina hasn't put CMC on the IR yet. My whole thing is, does that change? Because we're still early in this. I mean, dude, it's
possible.
You know, like, I don't want to read too much into this. And the other thing about it is hamstrings can linger. I mean, so just because they haven't done it yet, I think that Chuba Hubbard is one of those guys, like, his upside is to be a league winner for you. You know, is there some downside with Royce Freeman? Absolutely. You know, so if you have CMC, you are needing a running back to start this week, especially. And let's be real, man. The running back position is disgusting right now. Like, outside of, like, the top, like, 10 to 15 guys, it's a whole lot of dudes where you're like,
and it's,
I don't,
like,
know.
It's, I feel like it's getting almost worse, right? Like,
yeah.
Who knows if Henderson and Sony Michel are more of in, like, a 70-30, 60-40, whereas before that it was 90% Daryl Henderson. For some reason, the Colts don't want to give Jonathan Taylor the ball, which I don't even want to talk about because that game on Sunday, like, it was never out of reach. They were down by, like, 8 at most the whole game, and they were just like, nah, we're good. We're going to let Carson Wentz drop back and throw with two bad ankles. And then, like, Dalvin's banged up right now. It's tough. So it's like, I would say at least you got to go at least 35% for Chuba Hubbard, at least.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing is, like, I think that, like, considering his upside and how high people are in Carolina and all those type of things, you're going to have to go way more to get him if you want him. I think that you're probably looking at 50% of your FAB, depending on your roster and stuff like that. And so I think it's really, like, 50-55% probably.
And
to get a realistic shot to get him.
Do we like 100% know that he's the third down pass catching back? I think he probably is.
I think he probably
is. What happens if Carolina? I think Carolina is a good team. Do I think they're a top 2-3 team in the NFL? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. They've yet to trail in a game. They play Dallas this week, which it's a fine matchup. Obviously, their D line. The Eagles could have ran the ball on Monday night.
Oh,
they would have had a lot of success.
I'm not even like.
So
the
it's
Eagles
a good matchup.
Shit the bed. We're not even going to talk about the Eagles.
Yeah. But, like, they start getting behind in games, which is why the DJ Moore hype is even more crazy because he's averaging 10.5 targets per game and they've yet to trail. Like, imagine if they start having to chase points. Like, but yeah, I mean, yeah, I would say the high end of, like, the Elijah Mitchell fab bids we saw a couple weeks ago, that might be close to the low end for Chuba Hubbard.
No, you're right. I think that people are going to be aggressively bidding, and I don't disagree with it, because for all the reasons we stated here before, like, I mean, CMC can miss more time. He could go on the IR. We've seen multiple instances with hamstrings, running back injuries, and all this kind of stuff where we hear, like, well, the Joe Mixon corollary. He's going to come back. Well, he doesn't. He may be practicing, but
yeah,
he's not.
He's day-to-day.
Yeah, he's always day-to-day.
For about day-to-day. 3 months, he's day-to-day.
Week to week, you know, and then even in the offseason, he's still day-to-day. Like, those are the type of things that can happen as these stories unfold, and then it's like, you're sitting there in your league, and like, maybe you wake up and you see Chuba goes for like 30%, and you're like, damn it, why didn't I bid? Like, I just assumed I wasn't going to get him. Like, yeah. You need to sit here and be putting in aggressive bids for him, because the upside is league winner. The upside is he is the dude. The upside for all of those things. And this is not to say don't throw in bids for Royce Freeman. Like, if you have the space on your bench where you can take a flyer, or there's a guy where you're like, ah, okay, I'm done. I'm washing my hands. I'm done with this tight end two that I've been holding on to and praying for hope, then cut him. Pick up Royce Freeman. That's fine. Spend $5. Spend $6 a year fab. You know, 5, 6%. Get him on your rosters. 2%. Whatever. You know your league better than I do. How aggressively you need to bid, even if it's at the low amounts. Like, get Royce Freeman, because there is also, like, I think Royce Freeman is still a talented running back. I think Royce Freeman got off to a slow start. I think Denver was dog shit whenever he arrived in Denver. You know, so I think that Royce Freeman is still a running back that we could be, like, looking at, okay, he is the new Mike Davis in the sense that he does explode. You know, I'm not against any of that. If I'm putting my bets in right now, I think that Chuba is the guy because he got a lot of run in the preseason, played well when he did. We've seen the breakaway ability. He has that in his skill set. So, I mean, I think, yes, you need to be aggressively bidding for Royce Freeman. Chuba Hubbard, and put in bids for Royce Freeman, because the schedule is also good, Adam. Like, the next few games that they have coming up, you look at Dallas, Philly, Minnesota, the Giants, the Falcons, all of these teams, the next five matchups, next five, are outside the top 19 to 20 in second level yards. So what this is all to say that these teams are allowing production to running backs and chunk plays, and that's what Chuba Hubbard does well. You know, is he easier to tackle than CMC? Yes. Does he have big playability? Can he rip off a 50, 60-yard run? Yes, as well. So I think you need to be aggressively bidding for Chuba Hubbard. I like the call, man. Who's the next guy that's standing out to you that we need to be rostering?
Yeah, and real quick, and maybe the least surprising news of the week, Richard Sherman visiting with Tampa Bay. So, yeah.
I mean, Lord help them if they think that's actually going to help their secondary. I mean, more power to you.
By the way, can I just, we talked about this before, but I tip my cap for Cooper Kupp. I mean,
tell people, man, we tried.
No, you did. I'm not going to sit here and lie. I was, not that I was, like, I thought Cooper Kupp was going to be bad. I was just, as I always am, Team Robert Woods. But I tweeted out, like, who's the player you're most worried about after 3 weeks? Every answer was either Robert Woods or Allen Robinson. So, mm-hmm. Cooper Kupp is that dude. I want to talk about another receiver that, look, you put him, we'll talk about him, I'm kind of spoiling it, but you put Emmanuel Sanders on this list, who we'll talk about probably right after this, mm-hmm. and it made me think, okay, what's Cole Beasley at right now? And he's just barely over 50% rostered, and I thought that was like, right, I didn't think I'd be able to put him on this list, but like, coming off a huge game, still a massive part of this offense, and like, the Bills offense, we knew it was going to have we knew their passing game was going to have that massive explosion week, and it happened last week. You know what Beasley, like, in a PPR league as a third receiver, he's awesome. Like, you can play him every week. He's going to give you a really strong floor. And if he scores, he's going to be like a top 20 receiver most likely on the week. But like, especially this week, right? You know, A.J. Brown, right? A.J. Brown looks like he's very questionable to play. He's week to week. Say he lost A.J. Brown. I think T. Higgins does play on Thursday night. I think that's a huge reason why he didn't play on Sunday. But say for whatever reason he doesn't play, you need another receiver. Like, Cole Beasley is going to be ranked very highly for me because A, the Bills. B, Cole Beasley's a productive player. C, they're at home against Houston, who, if you watch the Thursday night game, they played a crazy cover two zone defense, and DJ Moore just said, okay, I'm going to go underneath the zone and just eat. Mm-hmm. What do you think Cole Beasley's going to do, who leads the NFL in both slot targets and slot receptions this year, and he's, I think, seventh or eighth in slot yardage? He is going, against zone coverage, those are his numbers. He's first in receptions, first in targets, and like seventh or eighth in yards. He destroyed zone coverage last year. He destroys zone coverage for his entire career. He is going to torch the Texans. The Bills, I think they're like 17.5-point favorites. But like, they're going to keep throwing. They're going to throw in this game and put up probably 35 to 40 again.
Yep.
Go pick up Cole Beasley, because he should be rostered anyway, but comfortably start him this week.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be inside my top 36 wide receivers. He probably is going to sneak inside the top 24. I'm going to dive into ranks later today for FDN Fantasy.
Honestly, I might play Cole Beasley over Robert Woods this week.
I think that that's definitively the move that you should be making. I mean, considering that we know where the volume is going in Buffalo. It's either Stephon Diggs, Emmanuel Sanders, or Cole Beasley. All of those guys are walking into 7+ targets every single week. Yes, I put Emmanuel Sanders on this list, but for the same reasons, man. Like, man, this is not just like chasing like the week that he just had. Manny's playing well. We know that he's starting in two wide receiver sets, much less three. Bills go four wide a bunch. That's true, too. Manny's not coming off the damn field, man. And it looks like he's past his foot injury that he had that was walking into the beginning of the season. You talked about Houston. They're not going to be able to stop a damn thing that Buffalo wants to do this week. Like, they're going to absolutely eviscerate them. Love the Cole Beasley call, because, yes, he should not be on the waiver wire in any league. He is going to destroy, and I'm not even kidding, destroy Desmond King this week in the slot. Desmond King has no damn shot to cover Cole Beasley. But same thing on the outside, man. Manny Sanders is going to eat. They get Houston, then they get Kansas City, then they get Tennessee. Are we seeing a trend here, people? These are bad secondaries! Then they get Miami and Jacksonville. Out of those next five matchups, man, not even talking about Houston.
Miami's the only teams. Miami's the only one that's not great, and it's like, whatever. Like, the Bills put up 35 against Miami in week one, and like, it's not fluky, but they had three rushing touchdowns from the running backs, which you don't see from Buffalo. So that schedule is really nice.
It's beautiful. Like,
as a Bills fan, I knew they played Houston, Kansas City, Tennessee. Didn't look after that, because the two games after that were like on my mind all offseason. But yeah, like that's nice.
I mean, you're looking at the next, after Houston, three of the next four opponents are outside the top 25 in pass defense DVOA. Like, Lord help me. Josh Allen's going to have a damn field day. And if he has a field day, Manny's going with him.
Sanders was pretty bad in week one. Like, he dropped a handful of passes, but the entire Bills team dropped passes. By the way,
dude, that first touchdown catch he had was, I went back and watched part of that game. Yep. That first touchdown catch that he had in the throw by Josh Allen
I was told Josh Allen's going back to 2019. Josh Allen. That's what I was told. So that's what Twitter told me, because he didn't throw for 400 yards in a game where they were up 35-0.
Oh my God, so Twitter is not really good at taking L's, man.
I was also told Zeke is washed. I was told.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was told the same thing. I was told that we need to be cutting Zeke and trading Zeke. Oh, speaking of things that Twitter told me, I was told that Clyde Edwards-Helaire was total dog shit. He was never going to have a good day. Oh, look at that. He got 100 yards and, oh my Lord, he caught a target and got a touchdown. I was told by Twitter. That needs to be a new segment. I was told by Twitter that these things are going to happen.
Probably still try to trade Clyde, but that.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
You want to talk about the matchup? The Chargers. We might talk about them soon. But
you want to know who they get this week that just got steamrolled? Who just made Zeke look like he was really, really damn good this week? Who is that, Adam?
The Eagles. Emmanuel Sanders is getting separation deep down the field. He's tied for the second in the league in deep targets right now with 7. Him and Diggs both have 7, I believe. Like, Sanders, there was multiple plays the first couple weeks where he's getting a ton of separation. Last game, just obviously smashed. Like, still, dude can still ball, and he's in the perfect offense to just post great numbers, even as a number 3 on paper, as this or on this receiving corps.
I think that Manny Sanders, as long as he's healthy, as long as he's on the field, he's going to be very productive in this offense. Just a quick note on the Q&A. Apparently, StreamYard updated some things. We're not on Periscope. We're streaming straight to Twitter now. So I'm not able to see any comments. If you're able to throw these in as a comment on the tweet that we put out that we are streaming live on, please do so. We'll get to them. As StreamYard kind of updates, we're working through some things here. So just to let everybody know, I'm not ignoring anybody's comments. We can't see them on here. If you have made any, throw them into the bottom of that tweet. But into the next guy that I want to bring up here, and Lord help me, I need some stomach meds. I'm afraid I might vomit live on the show because I'm going to mention his name.
I was gonna put him, so I'm with you.
It's gross, but this is real, and this man is probably gonna make it inside my top 24 running backs for the week. You need to be picking up Peyton Barber. He is not going to cost a lot in leagues, but you need to be picking up Peyton Barber. John Gruden is making this a thing. Peyton Barber is getting run. The man is coming off a week where he just had 26 touches for 142 and a touchdown. And no, you are not hearing that wrong, people. 26 touches for 142. He got targets. Josh Jacobs can't even get damn targets in this offense, but Peyton Barber gets them. Kenyon Drake is not getting early down run. John Gruden has been real about all of these things. And now they get one of the best matchups across the freaking board. We just talked about it. Clyde went for over 100 versus the Chargers. You better believe that Peyton Barber is going to get some volume this week. He's going to end up with 20-plus touches. He has a shot at going over 100 yards rushing this week. I don't care if you don't like it. I don't care if you don't like the name. You need to sit there and hold your nose, put him into the waivers, and put some fab on him. And it's not going to take much, man, like 5-10%. I don't think we see Josh Jacobs anytime soon, dude. He still wasn't practicing last week. He is still banged up. And whether it's ankle, whether it's toe, he's got some issues. Like, at the beginning of the season, he was not healthy to start. And I understand that people have biases. And I'm not telling you that Peyton Barber is an elite running back. But he is seeing really, really damn good usage in this offense. And for as much shit as people want to give the Raiders, people need to wake up. This team is 3-0. The defense is surprising people. They're rushing the passer well. The cornerbacks are playing really well in this zone coverage scheme. Casey Hayward looks like a revitalized man going back to Gus Bradley's scheme. I mean, this is a team that honestly is playing really good football right now. Like, Derek Carr is chucking the damn rock. They're top 12 in pace. They're top 6 in red zone passing rate in neutral scripts. This is a team that's playing really well right now. Like, you need to put your biases aside, and we have 3 weeks of a sample of the Raiders playing good football. And now we get a running back that nobody's going to want. You probably can get it for 10 to 12% of your fab easily. And he's going to walk into 20-plus touches in this upcoming matchup. And the next few weeks after this, he gets Chicago, they've given up the 8th most rushing yards so far this season. Then he gets Denver. Then he gets Philly, who just got steamrolled. Like, there's some good matchups coming up here, man. Like, and I'm going to be ranking Peyton Barber and putting respect on his name because, yes, I like running backs that are going to get 20-plus touches. I like running backs in good matchups. And both of those things describe Peyton Barber, man. Like, do you feel like you need to go more than 10 or 15%? I guess I'll lean into that, Adam. I mean, hit me with this, man.
You might have to only if whoever has Josh Jacobs doesn't have Peyton Barber, but I'm with you, man. Like, the Chargers matchup is so good. They allowed 90 rushing yards to Gibson in week one, 100 and a touchdown to Pollard, and then a touchdown and like 70 yards to Zeke in week two. And then last week, obviously, Clyde goes for 100 on 17 carries, and he has a receiving touchdown. Like, 46% of the yards against the Chargers this year have come via the run. It's the highest rate in the NFL. Like, they can't stop the run. And even with Derek Carr playing great and the, like, Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards and Hunter Renfrow all really playing well the last couple weeks, they're still running the ball a lot, especially on early downs. So Barber, if this game stays close, is going to get probably 17 to 20 carries at least. And like you said, like, Josh Jacobs, he wasn't even close to playing this week. So there's no guarantee he plays even week 5. So Yeah, it's not as exciting as Chuba Hubbard, but maybe that helps Peyton Barber kind of slip onto the radar and you get a pretty decent flex, maybe a low end, like you said, RB2 for week four if you need him.
I think that people are going to be sleeping on it. They're going to be sleeping on his volume. They're going to be married to their priors and be talking about, you know, like, there's no way in hell that I'm going to sit here and roster Peyton Barber. And I'm like, look, I'm not telling you that the man is an elite talent at the running back position, but you need to create a divide between your biases and look at the sheer production that the man put up and he's going to put up and the volume that he's going to get. All of those things are valuable, and they're valuable in fantasy. What I care about in fantasy, I care about points. I don't care about names. I care about points. I care about production. I care about volume. All of those things say pick up Peyton Barber today. Moving over to the wide receiver position again, Adam. I'm going to let you talk about your mans here. Unfortunately, and yes, injuries have struck this passing game, Jerry Jeudy being out. KJ Hamler's now torn an ACL. One of the most disrespected wide receivers in the NFL is now, I mean, the dude is basically like the Josh McCown of wide receivers. He always finds a way to become relevant. Tim Patrick, man, how much fab are you spending and tell me why you like him?
Yeah, I would go like 20 to 25%. Like, okay, he just produces. Teddy Bridgewater is playing really well right now. Even in a game where they clearly didn't have to do anything through the air, Patrick still had over 90 yards. Jeudy's going to miss probably another 3 to 5 weeks, 4 weeks. Who knows? And, like, he's clearly their wide receiver. I mean, he might be with Sutton as the wide receiver one. Like, the volume's been, like, Sutton had the huge game against Jacksonville, but other than that, it's been Patrick has been getting more consistent work. He's always been underrated. And yeah, like, this team wants to run the football and play defense, and that's what they're doing. But when they throw, they've been good. Bridgewater's been really good. So I don't have the upcoming schedule in front of me, but yeah,
I got you covered, my mans.
Go for it.
They have got Baltimore, they got Pittsburgh, they got the Raiders, the Browns, and Washington.
And that may seem bad on paper, but we know Baltimore's secondary is depleted right now outside of Marlon Humphrey. Okay. And then, like,
Pittsburgh isn't playing well. Like, Joe Hayden's playing well, but Cameron Sutton on the other side is playing terribly.
And, you, like, know, they played sideways with the corners. Offense is so bad. Like, they're banged up. Like, they might not even be able to sustain drive. So it's like, you might just be able to get there off volume from plays if their defense is still good. Like, yeah, like, Patrick's good, man. Like, he could start on a lot. I mean, starting now, but, like, he could be a starter without injury on a lot of teams.
Well, he was on the block. I mean, this is a team that was almost going to trade him in the preseason.
Like, he would easily be the Saints' best receiver, without question, obviously, until Michael Thomas returns. Mm-hmm. Like, would he be the best receiver on the Eagles? Probably not. Like, Devonta Smith is a better player, obviously.
Devonta Smith is better.
But he'd be number two.
I'm not shading Smitty that much.
I know. But he'd be number two, so he'd start on that team. Mm-hmm. You know, the Jets, he'd probably be number two, like, it's a good play. He'd be number one at Detroit without question. Like, it's a good player.
He's a really good player. And the other thing I want to bring up about it is he got a 20% target share last week. You talked about he went over 90 yards. He's second on the team in targets, only behind Cortland Sutton. And part of that is because Sutton had that massive blow-up game. And he quietly, and this is the thing that I want to bring up, Teddy is throwing deep at a higher clip, and this offense looks different than what even I projected this year, you projected, we talked about walking into this season. They got a good schedule upcoming. He is quietly leading this team in red zone targets with 3, over Cortland Sutton, over Noah Fant. So I think Tim Patrick is a guy that look, the production, and we care about fantasy points, we care about targets, chasing volume. It's going to be there for him in the weeks to come. He's a viable wide receiver 3 on your team, so you're not going to spend much to get him on fab. I like him, man. Any final thoughts about Tim Patrick before we hit on some of these names that you got listed here?
Nope. He's good.
He's good at football, man. We like good football players. Roll me through these next few names. I see Hunter Renfro on your list here. Tell me why.
Renfro is also good.
Man plays good football.
We saw the 19 target game from Darren Waller in week one. Like, obviously Waller is their best player on offense, but you don't want to just, you need the other guys to step up. And that's been the case the last couple weeks. Edwards has made huge play after huge play. Henry Ruggs has come on the last 2 weeks. And then Renfro's been just a steady, you know, borderline elite route runner. Like, he is awesome. Derek Carr trusts him. He's locked into probably 6 to 8 targets. He's going to catch a high percentage of them. Like, he's probably, like, just because their offense is playing well, but, like, I think he's, like, a lower ceiling of Cole Beasley. But he's going to give you that floor. And I just think, like, I think I could have put all three of the Raiders receivers in this.
Yep.
Because I think they're all worth adding. 100%.
That's one of the points I was going to make as well. Like, all of these guys, and I know we're playing with an extra game to the season, so take these pace stats, but this is something that needs to be brought
and
up.
And they've had two extra quarters.
That's fair. Dear Lord in heaven, I just wish Bryan Edwards would get targets before the end of the damn game. If they would feature this man in the passing attack, like, what could he do for a full 4 quarters of action every single week? Because when he gets opportunities, and everybody keeps throwing out, well, all of his yards are coming, blah, 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 blah. That's fine. The other fact of it is when he gets targets, what is he doing with them? He's playing really well. All of these Raiders wide receivers are playing well. And yes, I'm even throwing Henry Ruggs in there.
Did you see the catch he made yesterday or Sunday?
Yep, yep.
That was really nice. And Carr is, like, in the past, Carr is not throwing the ball downfield. I don't have his exact deep passing numbers in front of me, but you can just tell from watching, he's throwing deep way more. The last two games, he's taken multiple shots deep to Henry Ruggs.
He's taken multiple shots deep. I want to say when I looked at it for the DFS game by game, and I'll have to go back and look at updated data for this week, it was at 12 or 13%. He was going deep. It was a top 15.
He's
top
at 16% right now. It's not counting Eason and Jordan Love, who don't really, you know, they haven't really played.
That's
enough.
Top 10, right? So, that's got to be top 10.
So it's Lamar, Teddy, Rodgers, Russ, Baker, and then Derek Carr for deep passing.
Good Lord. I mean, that's another thing we're talking about. Like, nobody wants any parts of this Raiders offense.
He's also completing 54.5% of those passes, which is a top 5 number in the league.
And yet nobody wants any parts of the Raiders offense. You can go to every single league, and Henry Ruggs is probably sitting out there. If not him, then it's
I picked
Bryan
up
Edwards,
Ruggs last week. I needed a roster spot on my bench, and I was pretty happy to get him. I was happy he was there, available for me.
Start them. Start them in your flex. They're going to be bye week guys. They're going to be wide receiver threes in your flex. I mean, they're all viable, and they're passing. The passing rate and the pace are supporting all of these players. This is not the Raiders team of old, and maybe they pumpkin as the season goes along. But everything we're seeing right now, and we've seen it for 3 games, Adam, I'm sorry, I want to dial in to a team that is top 12 in passing rate and pace, and is showing us that this is not what they've done in the past. Like, you can't stay convicted to what you saw 2 to 3 the last seasons. Yes, I know it's only 3 games, but how are you going to feel when these players were all out on the waivers, and now it's 4 to 6 games later? You're getting your team ready for the playoffs in fantasy, and you're saying, damn it, I wish I would have picked up all these players. I wish I didn't just crap on them because of how I felt in previous seasons. I wish I didn't just do this so I could sit there and make more jokes about John Gruden when at the end of the day, I'm the ass for not picking them up. So I think you need to be picking up these players. I think that all of them are, you can find them spread across different leagues. I think they're all viable for pickups, and how much fab you want to put on them or you need to put on them in your league, it's not going to be much. And you need to be picking them up because there's so many different outs for any one of these guys to hit. Hunter Renfro is a safety blanket. He's going to stay involved in this offense. Bryan Edwards is getting deep targets. He is really pushing for more volume in this passing offense because that's what happens. Good players play well. They deserve more targets. Now, whether he gets them or he doesn't is up for debate. But what he's doing on the field right now, he's pushing for more targets. Henry Ruggs is also taking his game to another level right now. We're watching this maturation of his NFL game. He's got the raw talent. I know I've crapped on him in the past, but like all of these things are changing right before our eyes. Don't sleep on it, people. Go pick them up. A few names that we got to still hit on here. You've got the Tennessee Titans defense and Evan Engram listed here. Tell me why, my friend.
It's just they play the Jets this week.
I mean,
it's that simple. I mean, the Jets can't did they get? I know Denver's defense is very good, and they were in Denver. But I'm being serious when I say this. I don't think they pass midfield.
I honestly didn't watch a minute of that game. That game was going to be gross. I didn't even know.
They
might
have gotten to like the 30 or 40 of Denver. But yeah, I mean, just the Titans defense is not good. They should be good enough to have a good fantasy performance against the Jets. And then Evan Engram like made his debut last week. Wasn't great. Fumbled, but he's getting opportunity. He's a talented player. He's running routes. He's at a tight end position that's bad. And now Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton are banged up. So if they're forced to miss time, I believe they're both dealing with hamstring injuries. I mean, it's all of a sudden a very concentrated offense for the time being between Saquon Barkley, Kenny Galladay, and Evan Engram. So he's like under 40% roster right now. If you're starting, you know, like the Patriots tight end or, you know, and I guess you can add Mike Gesicki. Like, that was kind of encouraging.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he was a full-time player again, man. So if people have dropped him, I think that's definitely worth a pickup. And, I mean, I think Gesicki's a good name. I like the Evan Engram call. Tennessee, I just can't get there with their defense. Like, I get it's the Jets. I'm not hating on it. I get it's the Jets. Just Tennessee's defense is terrible, man. Like, and I'll give some credence here. Shout out to Christian Fulton. He's playing extremely good football, but the rest of the defense around him is terrible. They can't pressure. They can't cover on two of their other three cornerback positions. People talked about playing them at DFS last week, and I was like, why, baby? Why are you doing that to yourself? Don't do that to yourself. So not to hate on the call, but the Titans defense is god awful. A few other names before we get up out of here, Adam. Elijah Moore might be still sitting on waiver wires. He is worth a pickup. This schedule opens up for the Jets.
Did we get word on him, though? I thought he suffered a concussion.
He did suffer a concussion, so we'll have to monitor practice reports. Again, another reason why if somebody's just box score chasing, they're like, I didn't do anything last week. Go pick him up off the waiver wire. They get Tennessee, Atlanta, New England, Cincinnati. Two of those four matchups are plus matchups walking into his next four games. And I'm going to save one of these guys for the last because we got to talk about him because, Lord, we have to talk about him every damn season. Two guys I want to bring up first. Rhamondre Stevenson. James White had the hip injury. He might miss some damn time, man. I think, like, the thesis for picking up or stashing Rhamondre Stevenson was always about his possibility to factor into this passing game, play on both downs. I know he's fumbled. And yes, does Belichick have a really deep doghouse? Could he bury the guy? That's possible. I don't think that Brandon Bolden, who's a full-time special teamer, is going to step into a role. That is not happening.
It's not surprising because he is a special teams player. But on the carries he got last week, he legitimately looked like the slowest player I've ever seen.
He's not good. I mean, he's a special teams player. He does. Yeah. He plays his role. He's a good NFL caliber player for what he does.
Did you bring up J.J. Taylor?
I have not brought up J.J. Taylor. I was going to bring him up next. Him and Rhamondre need to be rostered in leagues for this. Now,
they're
going to
be down
by
30 on Sunday night against Brady.
It's going to be crazy. And I think that the checkdowns are going to be there. Mac Jones is not pushing the damn ball down the field. And maybe that's that part of that's Mac. Maybe that part of that's what they're asking Mac Jones to do. I say that not shading Mac Jones. I say that as just a fact about how this offense is running right now. And you look at J.J. Taylor and Rhamondre Stevenson, Damian Harris is not getting targets. Damian Harris is not going to be a three-down running back. Damian Harris is going to get early down work. He's going to be involved in this offense. Yes, you can point to touchdown equity and all those different things. Damian Harris can still get scripted out of any game. And so I think that another running back is going to emerge here for as long as James White is out. That means that you need to be picking up J.J. Taylor and Rhamondre Stevenson. I am on the fence of I want Rhamondre Stevenson. I think the talent is real. What he showed us in the preseason, yes, it was against third-string players. Dude has talent. Dude is shifty. If he can clean up the miscues and stop fumbling the damn ball and putting it on the ground, I think that he is the guy that could step forward and be really awesome for us in fantasy. And that's not shading J.J. Taylor. He's played really well, too. But as much as people want to talk about J.J. Taylor, he's going to be pigeonholed into a certain role. He's not going to gain that early down work. And yes, you could talk about Deion Lewis all you freaking want to. Deion Lewis was a better, more athletically gifted player than J.J. Taylor. J.J. Taylor is a good NFL player. Again, we're talking about you need to pick him up. Go grab both of them. If it's one preference, for me, it's Ramondre. Do you go J.J. Taylor over Ramondre Stevenson, or are you with me on Stevenson?
I would lean Ramondre.
Okay. One more guy before we get up to the man of the year. MVS. Going to keep talking about him. Owns a deep role in the Green Bay Packers offense. I like players that run routes. I like players that get deep targets. MVS, yes, he's going to have weeks where he burns you. He's also going to have weeks where he posts five or six targets and he puts up 120 and two touchdowns and he wins you a damn week. That's immensely possible as well. He gets Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Chicago, Washington, Arizona, and Kansas City. Out of those next six matchups, you're talking about, I mean, there's four plus matchups that I'm talking about right now. Like, outside of Chicago, if you're not being guarded by Jalen Johnson, you're in line for a really good fantasy day. Washington, outside of William Jackson, nobody else is playing good in their secondary.
What's Arizona up with their defense?
Is terrible. Washington's defense outside of William Jackson is not good right now. They're not pressuring the quarterback.
The back end is bad. And yeah, the back end's bad. But to make up for that, you'd say, okay, they have an elite front. They're going to get pressure. But they haven't been getting pressure. So it's like, if you're not getting pressure, that back end's getting, they're getting torched. And that's been the case. Obviously, look at the Bills did. But like, even Daniel Jones had a really good game.
Yeah, but the Bills' offensive line, that's why I was lower on them heading into the week, and I wasn't high on them in our Discord and talking about DFS and stuff like that. Like, I wasn't really high on them because the Bills have been giving up pressure, and Washington's front was talented, and I thought there was a bounce-back spot for them, and I was wrong. Big wrong. So, I mean, Washington's got some concerns on the defensive side, man. They need to move Kendall Fuller back outside is one of the things. He is not a good slot corner. He proved that over multiple seasons in Kansas City. Move him back to the outside because he's terrible in the slot. And Brandon St. Just is not playing good. He's a big physical corner, but he's slow. That's not going to get it done right now. He's getting eat up, and you should not be. One of the things we need to learn and get better on a yearly basis in fantasy, whether it's DFS, season long, what have you, is that rookie corners coming into the NFL, 9 times out of 10, if you can diagnose wide receiver cornerback matchups properly walking into the season, most of these rookies struggle over the first half of the regular season. Maybe they pick it up down the stretch, maybe they don't. But these first 5-6 weeks, as these guys adjust to the NFL, they're used to getting to up to game speed and everything else in the NFL. They struggle, man. We see this year over year. And how many times have we talked about it, Adam? Like, you pick on the rookie corners, you know? So, I wasn't expecting them to push Brandon St. Just into a starting role. That kind of surprised me. So, I think that's one of the things, like, if they're looking at things they need to sit here and change up on this defense, move Kendall Fuller back outside. He's not a good slot corner, and your outside guy is getting burnt and torched on a weekly basis. So the guy that I've been bearing the lead on and that we have to discuss because his name's in the headlines yet again, and we also have to discuss because he landed in freaking Kansas City, Josh Gordon has made his way back to the NFL. Props and salutations to Josh Gordon. I love the man. I'm glad to see him back in the NFL. But Lord help me, I'm not ready to watch the timeline on Twitter be just consumed with Josh Gordon for the next 5 to 6 days or the rest of the NFL season. Is he worth a pickup for you off of waivers over any of the guys that we've talked about to this point?
No.
Agreed.
I think it's awesome. I don't know why the Chiefs felt they needed Josh Gordon, to be honest. Like, I know Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson haven't been what they've hoped for, as third options in this passing game. But the Chiefs' defense is pretty bad right now. I think Gordon, at a point, could be, like, what do we expect for, like, usage and rotation and playing time? He's just going to, like, mix in with Robinson and Hardman. Like, he's not going to take Tyreek off the field, obviously, or Kelsey. He'll probably just, I don't think Josh Gordon, I don't know if it's going to get to a situation where he's the clear number three receiver on this team. Like, I still think they want to play Mecole Hardman. But not a great sign for Mecole Hardman either at the same time.
it's not good for Mecole Hardman, and I'm not picking up Josh Gordon over any of the players that we've already discussed. Now, if you're in a deep league, you're in a 14-team league, and this is like you're fighting for scraps, I get it. I think that Josh Gordon could walk into some usable weeks in fantasy, but Lord help me, his routes, his role, when you're going to feel comfortable starting him, even like outside of the deepest leagues, that's the only way where I would possibly consider him. Like if you're in a deep expert league or something like that. Or well,
here's your answer. What percentage rostered is Mecole Hardman right now? 60? Maybe less? Yeah,
somewhere around there.
So like, do we think Josh Gordon should surpass that? No.
No.
So there you go. Like if
I don't think
you have to add either. But if both Gordon and Mecole Hardman are on waivers, and like for some reason, whatever reason, you had to pick one of them up, who are you picking up?
I'm picking up Mecole Hardman.
That's where I'm leaning too. So it's like,
I mean, I get he's disappointed us to this point, man. We still know the speed is there.
He scored last week.
I mean, he did, and I don't know what Josh Gordon has left in the tank, man. I mean, Josh Gordon could be a guy that like. He steps back on the NFL field, and he doesn't have it anymore.
How old is Josh Gordon? Like 30?
He's somewhere around there. No, he's above 28. I'd have to go back and pull up his actual age at this point. I feel like he's just been around forever.
He's 30.
He's 30. I mean, are we not going to – is Josh Gordon drinking the magic elixir, the Fountain of Youth serum? We're not going to talk about the fact that he's a 30-year-old wide receiver who's been out of action and stuff like that. Oh, those arguments or that conversation doesn't apply to the phenom that is Josh Gordon. I like Josh Gordon, and I'm not trying to shade him. I am immensely happy that he is back in the NFL. You can debate on whether or not you think that he should have ever been out of the NFL for these suspensions. You know, talk amongst yourselves, you know, scream at your cat. It's fine. But with Josh Gordon, I don't think he's worth a pickup over all the players we stated right now. Like I would take Elijah Mitchell over him. I'd take Ramondre. I would take MVS. I would take Mecole. I would take any of the guys that we talked earlier in this episode about over Josh Gordon. Cause I think they're going to have more of a projectable role. As well as they're just possibly just all better NFL players at this point and juncture of their careers than Josh Gordon. All right, everyone, that is the Week 4 Waiver Wire edition for Fade the Chalk Live. Thank you again for everyone for tuning in. Again, on the Q&A, we're going to get this sorted out, see how we can kind of get this fixed up for episodes moving forward. Adam and I are going to be back tomorrow to discuss our players that we're going to be training for and training away before Week 4 kicks off. Again, you need to be heading over to ftnfantasy.com. Get signed up with the promo code FTC today. I know Joe Metz has his waiver wire article that's going to be live on the site later today, so be checking that out. All of those pickups, Metz has been crushing that. As well as, look, if you're kind of like waxing and waning on, you're sitting at 0-3, you're looking at maybe going 0-4 in all of your redraft leagues this week, head over to stopcropsports.com today. Get signed up with the promo code FTN. Add some competition back to your league. Don't lose interest. I get you might be 0-4. You can still put money on these matchups and make people shut up about it. Okay? TopPropSports.com, promo code FTN. Head there today. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.